Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Kara Hetland, and we're broadcasting from the University of Sioux Falls. And joining me is Tom Loveland. He's the chief scientist at Eros. Welcome to Dakota Midday. Thanks for being here.
A pleasure.
And Jim Nelson, he's the acting LDCM project manager. And LDCM stands for?
The Landsat Data Continuity Mission.
Okay. And soon it will be referred to as Landsat 8.
Yes, following the transition from NASA to USGS at the end of next week or on Thursday, it'll be renamed when the USGS takes over to Landsat 8.
And they say it's taking over the keys, right?
Yep. So after the launch in February on the 11th, there was a 90-day, what we call a commissioning period, where we take time to turn on the spacecraft, the instruments, and then they activate the different components, make sure everything's working well. That takes about 30 days. Then we spend the rest of the time calibrating the instruments, making sure all the data is working correctly. That's a 90-day period. We completed that at the end of last week, and held a on-orbit acceptance review in which NASA formally accepted the spacecraft and instruments from the vendors, and it finally became a government-owned program. Then next week, the operational program will be transitioned from NASA ownership to USGS ownership.
Okay. Officially next
Thursday. Officially next Thursday.
Thursday.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So this has been a project that has been in the works 10 years or even longer?
Close to 14 years.
14 years.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's gone through a lot of transitions and different concepts for how this would work, whether we should just buy imagery from commercial companies or launch a standalone satellite. And that's ultimately where we went. And so for the last 7 years, we've been on that development path to get Landsat 8 into orbit, where it's sitting and running well.
But this one is unique of all the other even Landsats, that Eros actually helped design and build it, correct?
Yes, that's a new capability for Eros. In the past, we've received the a developed mission from NASA. They were responsible for all of the development of the space system and the ground system. What's new about LDCM or Landsat 8 is the USGS had the opportunity and the responsibility to develop the ground system, fold in some of our enterprise components, and build up a sustainable ground system that we can use for future missions.
Okay, so what's the results? Are you happy? they are.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we're thrilled. It, you know, speaking from my perspective is, what are we going to do with the imagery next Thursday when 20,000 images are suddenly available? And what we're going to do is look at the Earth in more detail than we ever have before. We have more imagery and better imagery that we've than any of the previous Landsats. The looks that we've had at the images collected since when the middle of March
18th
have been extraordinary. The performance of the instruments is just almost perfect. And so we will expect to be doing things we've never been able to do before. So.
And when you say, I mean, is it because of digital technology? Is it because of new technology, which is why you have better imagery? It's just something better on the satellite?
Yeah, there's the technology used for Landsat 8 is much advanced over what we've had in previous missions. The new imaging technology in particular is designed to run continuously, which lets us image the Earth at a higher rate than ever before. But the quality of the components in it, the detectors, the optics, are giving us crisp, clear images and measurements of reflected light of the surface that is really more detailed than we've ever seen. We estimate the improvement in quality in the images are perhaps 8 to 10 times better. That's pretty big.
Then Landsat 7.
That's correct. Now, we're still sticking to that 30-meter by 30-meter look at the land, so we will resolve things about the size of a baseball diamond. But because of the the precision of the energy we're measuring that's reflected off the surface, we will detect conditions and changes in conditions on the Earth's surface that we've not seen before.
More Earth temperatures. It's like an infrared.
We have a temperature capability through a thermal infrared imager called TIRS, the thermal infrared sensor, and that will give us measurements of the surface of the Earth on 100 by 100 meter squares. That will translate into the amount of energy radiating from the surface, the amount of water used, since that has the cooling effect. A lot of very practical measurements will be able to be taken with this new instrument.
And are you going to be able to, though, compare, or are you, is it going to be an apples to oranges kind of thing over with the older images?
With the middle name of the Landsat Data Continuity Mission is Data Continuity, and so everything was designed to be consistent with the images we've acquired before. So starting next week, we will add another year and hopefully another 5 to 10 years to what is already a nearly 41 year record of the Earth. Everything that we're doing now has been calibrated already to the previous Landsat, which will then is passed along to the ones before that. So the whole Landsat record is comparable from day one to today.
When you say you can see it more clearly, what does that mean?
So one of the things that changes from Landsat 7 to Landsat 8 is there's a higher precision instrument. What I mean by that is for each pixel, there's 12 bits of data versus 8 bits of data. So that means that you have 16 times more information in each pixel. So it's like if you were measuring with a ruler, and it used to have a tick every 1 inch. Now it has a tick every 16th of an inch. So you're more sensitive to change. So what looked like a slow variation, you can find more precise measurements out of that same resolution.
So I'm not going to see a tree clearer.
No, but I'll give you an example of something we're excited about taking a look at in the next couple of weeks. Sioux Falls has been imaged by previous Landsats over the years, and we have great imagery of the condition of the urban forest in Sioux Falls from last summer. In the early days of Landsat 8, as we all know, we lost a lot of trees in the city.
Right.
And so one of the things we'd like to try to look at is how accurately can we measure the loss of tree canopy in this city? And with the quality of this new instrument, we should be able to come up with a pretty good measurement of what the impacts of the ice storm were on reducing the overall amount of green mass that's covering our city.
And then what kind of impact that will have?
Yeah, and that'll have an effect on the temperature of the city. Trees have a cooling effect on the landscape. And so, there are some public health considerations tied to how vegetation moderates the climate of a city.
Now, is this something that the scientists at Eros alert people to, notices of change, or does it take an independent scientist to say, let me see your data, I'm studying this?
Both go on. We have a science program that's very active that emphasizes studying land changes across the country and around the world. But the key is Landsat is really an international mission. It's used in over 180 countries, and as a result of that, we are a strong team amongst many other strong teams in this world that are monitoring the Earth using Landsat.
Okay, so then, for example, this weekend there will be a pass over Oklahoma City. And so then would you be able to overlay that with previous images of that same area and then maybe help people find stuff?
Yeah, it'll help us understand the ground track of the tornado, which will hopefully help us understand how tornadoes are formed and move. So it'll be an important part of the science of improving tornado climatology. Incidentally, Lance, in 1999, there was a massive tornado that struck Oklahoma City, and the Landsat images then were remarkable. They really showed the amount of land destroyed, similar path to this one. So we'll have a real interesting opportunity to compare both
tornadoes. Yeah. And then you could actually, you know, they're saying it was a mile wide or 2 miles wide, and now this will actually give precise measurements?
That's correct.
Absolutely. Well, and that's the beauty of Landsat. It doesn't have the level of resolution that you could go find your stuff, but it's at a level, because each dot is about the size of the infield of a baseball diamond, so 90 meters or 90 feet by 90 feet. But looking at the scale that we show with Landsat data, you can really see that impact at that mile and multiple mile wide swath.
Okay. Okay, so you said 20,000 images being released next week. Is that from the previous year, or is that just from the last 90 days that you're finally going to let people see?
Collected since March 18th when we took our first image.
Okay.
Then we took and we spent the first few weeks imaging at a lower orbit so we could underfly, where we fly right underneath Landsat 7, so we could capture the same imagery. And we did that for 2 days, where we captured the same picture or the same image with both Landsat 7 and LDCM. Then we raised our orbit, and then on April 12th is when we achieved our final orbit, which is 438 miles high. Every image collected since April 12th will be available. We've been collecting on the order of 400 to 450 scenes per day.
And you're expecting what to happen next week?
Well,
system overload.
we hope to be pushed to the
limits. That would be a great thing. We really there's been a lot of great press on Landsat ever since the launch, and before the 40th anniversary of Landsat was last year, with a great launch, and there was a recent Time magazine article on Landsat. So we really expect, you know, in our science users, everyone's really excited to get at the data. So we're really expecting a huge turnout for people looking to get the data.
And they can just go online and they don't have to write a request. You don't have to send it to them. It's all right there.
If you go to landsat.usgs.gov, you can get all of the data available for Landsat 8 and any previous Landsat data for free, directly from the USGS.
And there are viewing tools available that, you know, are designed for both the most sophisticated of users and then more Google Earth-like applications that allow you to just browse through an area over time and space. Look at Sioux Falls, for example, all of the images collected that you can do at your desktop to understand what's happening.
Because these images are taken every 16 days of the same area.
Right, correct? And that's one of the exciting parts of Landsat and its legacy is the way we have a systematic collection of the Earth's land surface. Every 16 days, you take the same image over the same location. So you build that up over 40 years of every 16 days collecting that same image. You can detect those changes over time.
And of that, I mean, there's going to be cloudy days. And how does this perform on a cloudy day? Not well?
We get beautiful pictures of clouds. We study the land, and so clouds obscure what we're interested in. But even in cloudy days, there are pockets of land that look that show up, and so we image the United States, for example, continuously, and we pull all of the clear images segments out and use them to understand changes.
One other key thing when you talk about clouds, that's an improvement from previous Landsats, is we've added a new spectral band to the Landsat 8 satellite that detects the high-altitude cirrus clouds. And those have a way of distorting the imagery that's not easily seen with the eye. And by using this particular capability, gives you a better accurate representation of the land data versus where the clouds are in the way.
So when you started out 14 years ago, and AROS gets to help build this, USGS is involved in building and designing. What were some of the things that you were like, okay, this is a problem, this is a problem? I mean, was it clouds? I mean, was it this high cirrus? Was it, I mean, what were some of the things that you just wanted to fix?
Well, a lot of it, at least from the ground system perspective, was lessons learned on things we've received. So it was things that were complicated and were only developed to support a specific satellite. So it's looking at developing something for the long term. So if we're going to be building a processing system or a ground station antenna, build something that can work with industry standards so we can make use of it for long term, and it's something that's sustainable and works with the imagery that we need and gets the information to the public.
So this isn't, it's not just like taking a picture like with a big camera. I mean, this is data that comes that then needs to be processed through computers down here on the ground to actually get the picture that we would see when we go online, right? Right.
So with Landsat 8, we have two different instruments, the operational land imager and the thermal infrared sensor. And between the two of them, there's 11 different spectral bands. And they range anywhere from the visible, red, green, and blue, to the near-infrared, the shortwave infrared, and into the thermal spectrum. And by using a different, those different bands bring out different features of the land surface that you can use to perform different change detection studies.
Okay. But then it still has to be processed, right, into what we get down.
Yes, yeah. So the raw imagery that comes down is just raw from the sensor, and we have a team of a calibration and validation scientists that correct that imagery to provide the best possible imagery based on what we've learned of how the instrument behaves and any kind of degradation that's going on.
Okay, and go ahead.
And they form it into a map-like look.
Absolutely.
So that
right.
Every pixel of information corresponds to a very specific location on the Earth, and when we distribute our images, you can overlay all of them from 41 years ago to today to understand the changes that have occurred in any particular place.
Okay, and Landsat 5, is that offline?
Landsat 5 is in the decommissioning phase, and in the middle of January we began the process of lowering it to a much lower orbit where it'll eventually decay further and many years from now re-enter the Earth's atmosphere and burn up upon re-entry. It was lowered partly to make room for Landsat 8, but also because of a number of failures of systems over the 29-year period.
29 years, yeah.
Now, interestingly, you know, the day of launch, we were notified that Landsat 5 was recognized by the Guinness Book of Records as the longest Earth observation mission ever. So it was sort of a bittersweet day.
Right, designed for 3 years and lasted for 28 years and 10 months.
Yep.
Not too bad.
Okay, so you know what I'm going to ask next about Landsat 8. How long was it designed for?
It was designed to last 5 years. It has fuel to go for another 5 years, so a full 10-year life. The performance that we've seen on orbit during the commissioning period has been fantastic. So we have our fingers crossed that it'll achieve the required and beyond.
And Landsat 9?
Yes, we'd like one. Yes.
You want one? It's not in the planning.
It's in the planning.
Okay.
President's budget request includes a request for funds to begin Landsat 9 development. So we'll watch the legislative process continue through that.
And do you already have a list of what you would do differently?
Certainly the science community has a list. And we're anxious to get into those discussions.
Okay. And do you think it would be the same process? I mean, did it work for Eros's involvement and then to eventually take it over?
I would say that this partnership between the USGS and NASA has been fantastic. We've really enjoyed working with our partners at NASA, and have really formed a great partnership. And you know, and we hear from them from the project on the NASA side that this has been the best partnership they've worked with in a lot of other missions.
Yeah, and so. I guess I think on behalf of my engineering colleagues, a little bragging is deserved on this. When we joined the LDCM team, we had to prove ourselves. When you're dealing with the finest aerospace agency in the world, there are high standards to meet. And this was a real coming-of-age experience for our staff, and they performed remarkably well. The kudos that NASA counterparts have passed along have been remarkable and well-deserved.
Okay. We are out of time, but I want to thank you both for coming on the program today, and congratulations and best of luck next week. As you take over, I'll be online looking.
Very good.
Thank you.
Tom Loveland, the Chief Scientist, Jim Nelson, Acting LDCM Project Manager. Thanks for being here. And when we come back, we'll talk with Bruce Knowles. He is the Rapid City Central Orchestra Instructor, preparing to take 50 students to China next week. You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.